broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for December the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. You're very welcome, sir. By the way, what do you think? Farmers markets sustain whiteness. David Graydon writes the piece. What do you think of that? I just think they're race baiting at every turn. These people are crazy.
It's how they stir up stuff, Sam. And the bottom line is, wicked judges and lawyers like to stir up the people. And it builds up their business. And
Kurt, when I go to these farmers markets, though, I see different races.
Just like the media likes to see it.
I usually see different sections at a farmers market. You might have the Hispanic section where they've got, all kinds of peppers and different vegetables, and a lot of them are...
Yeah, their section's right next to me, and I'm right next to the Chinese guy. And
yeah.
A bunch of sections, if you will.
The only reason for the sections, though, is so that you can find what you want. It's not a segregated, like, we don't get along section. It's more of a, so you can find what you're looking for section. So if I'm looking
The ones that I've seen, there's not a section that's just like, you got this guy and this guy, and there's no rhyme or reason. You just walk along and see what you got.
Yeah, it depends on how organized or where it is and, some of the details.
The biggest one I've been to is the Provo one, and it's got, like 100 people there, and I just don't see any sections.
Anyway, sometimes they have sections in stores. Sometimes they have sections in farmers markets and stuff like that. They have sections at swap meets sometimes as well. It's built on a section based on the culture or the foods. Sometimes it's built on sections like dairy, the cheeses and the dairy stuff. Yeah. And then sometimes the vegetables section is different. You don't see that either?
I've seen that in stores. I just never see it at the farmers market. Right. The thing I like about it at the farmers markets, it's almost like freedom breaking out,
Almost.
But then a bureaucrat comes there every so often and
fixes
that, what I mean?
Anyway, I don't see that farmers markets promote whiteness. I see that there's just incredible deals. I really think this is an attempt to divide everybody and to shut down the farmers markets because the big boys don't have control of them, like you point out. I think this is nothing but race baiting, and it's disgraceful, Kurt.
Yeah, I guess there's a Washington Times piece that says professor claims farmers markets cultivate racism habits. White people, and there's a Blaze piece, Fox News piece. They're all kind of connected up to it. But
what a disgrace. I just don't find it to be even close to true. Yeah. I see everybody mingling there and having a great time and getting great deals and working together and enjoying the bounty, and I just see it as a good place, Kurt.
Yeah, it's, the Blaze one says professors claim farmers markets are exclusionary and contribute to minority oppression. I don't get that.
I thought it let the minorities actually sell their wares, Kurt.
Well, if the bureaucrat shows up, they do want to jump them through a bunch of hoops.
Yeah, but that's not us, the white people. That's bureaucrats.
They want them all done to everybody. Yeah. Let's see.
I mean, it's just whacked out. It's just crazy. I like to find the guys selling tamales at the farmers markets personally.
Yeah, I bought like 12 dozen of them last year. It says it says these SDSU professors names them, and it says they believe that the whiteness of farmers markets contributes to environmental gentrification. Wherein environmental improvements are a catalyst in displacing long-term indigenous residents. Man, I can't even figure that out. According to Campus Reform, these two professors argued that farmers markets in urban areas are also exclusionary because oftentimes many residents cannot afford the food and feel excluded from these new spaces. Huh.
New spaces?
Dual awesome.
Wait a minute. Yeah, hold on. These spaces have been going on before stores, my friend.
Yeah, they say the duo also alleged that 44% of San Diego area farmers markets cater to households from higher socioeconomic backgrounds, which in turn helps to increase property values and effectively displaces low-income residents and people of color.
See, so the only answer is to get a Walmart, a big, massive Walmart, and shut down all the farmers' markets. Then it'll be perfect, right?
Describing farmers' markets as white spaces where the food consumption habits of white people are normalized, these two professors added that alternative food initiatives such as farmers markets work against community activism. Campus Reform reported that the academics did not offer any solutions on how to combat what they refer to as environmental gentrification.
So don't let your lying eyes of the truth on the ground deceive you, Kurt.
Yeah. I mean,
these whacked out high and mighty Ivy League tower thugs think they know better.
It sure seemed wide open and pretty good to me. You know?
Now, is the food super expensive when you go to these, Kurt? Kurt goes to these every weekend almost, folks.
Well, you know, at least I'm always stuck, and I guess it's no play on honey, you know, because I'm stuck at the honey booth. But I don't really leave much, but I do have daughters and, you know, people with me that seem to take a break and then bring back food, you know, like our good buddy Greg will bring back all these different things.
It just must be that you hang around nothing but white rich people is the thing. I see.
Yeah, good point.
All right. But I'm just saying, I think this story is it's out of control. It's offensive. Yeah. It's wrong. And if the food does cost too much, and if there are, you know, situations where people go, a lot of times it's because there's organic stuff there that you can't get other places. There's reasons that there's unique food options there that are not, you know, found other places. And oftentimes, isn't it the regulations? I mean, maybe the food costs so much because the cost to be at the market's so expensive. Kurt, isn't there a
what
fee to
go? What I think it is you got people who want to spend extra and waste money, you know, and so that's why they go to farmers markets because, I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to use your money wisely and buy things straight from a, you know, producer and stuff like that. That's not why they go there. I mean, they just like to waste money. That's what they're doing.
I think it's the only way that we can get to the producer.
Good point, Sam.
You know, and if I go to the Walmart, am I dealing with the producer there? You know, look, how can it be way more expensive for me to go to the farmer's market and meet the producer and buy it direct versus trucking it, you know, doing it all, as you point out? Now, it might be more expensive. My question would be why? Maybe because you're buying something from America, not from a foreign country. Maybe the orange juice there comes from California or Florida, or maybe apple juice comes from Utah, for example.
On this, like, high cost of things, you know, when I go to the grocery store, I typically look and see how much the cost of raw honey is. And, you know, I find it many times costs more and has a less options than what we
Yeah, like they only sell
it
in tiny
market.
Amounts and stuff?
Yeah, they don't have, you know, the different kinds from different places. Maybe they got one or two, and they certainly won't let you taste it. So, I mean,
it would be illegal to let me taste it.
This whole idea that, yeah, that's right.
Now, see, that the bureaucrat came to Kurt and tried to pretend it was illegal and lost that one. This is the
that's
kind of
right.
stuff they do, folks. These bureaucrats, they're just out of control.
They made it seem like it was, you know, a have to, like a kind of a plan program that you had to sign up for it and pay it. And then after they got me to all fill out all the papers and everything, they said, by the way, this is a voluntary program.
Yeah. We're just going to shut you down until you volunteer, kind of like the IRS.
After that, I didn't really want to volunteer, you know what I mean?
Good point.
I was forced
anyway,
to volunteer
I think
before.
These professors should be fired for their racism, Kurt. They're race baiting. They're agitating. And it needs to stop. It makes you understand David Hardy's book, The Good Sheriff Last Hour, talked about. I'm from the government and I'm here to kill you. Or shut down your business. Or call you a racist, you know, whatever, right? All right. Did the FBI conspire to stop Donald Trump? Asks Patrick Buchanan, Kurt.
Well, I think so. What do you think, Sam? I mean,
absolutely. What does Pat say?
Well, the let me find that story. You know, from what I can see, according to Patrick, says the original question the FBI investigation of the Trump campaign was to answer was a simple one. Did he do it? Did Trump or officials? Anyway, there's more details.
Yeah, let's break it down. It's a great article from Pat Buchanan, by the way. Kurt has the details. We'll break it all down. Interesting story, but again, where's the accountability, as the good sheriff pointed out? Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
"That ain't my style,"
said Casey.
"Like what?"
the umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew.
"I think I'll just ignore it."
And the umpire said,
"Right to."
Now, something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
"Follow through!"
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun. And tonight, there's joy in Mudville, for Mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right, there's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, it looks like Patrick J. Buchanan writes the, $64,000 question? Did the FBI conspire to stop Trump? I say yes, they did. Did Trump do it? No, he didn't. All right, let's talk about it, Kurt.
Yeah, here's some of the other questions he has. You know, he answers those questions a little bit, you know, in here where he says, did he do it? It says, did Trump or officials with his knowledge collude with Vladimir Putin's Russia to hack the emails of John Podesta and the DNC and leak the contents to damage Hillary Clinton and elect Donald Trump? The answer he puts is a year and a half into the investigation and still no collusion has been found, yet the investigation goes on at the demand of the never-Trump media and Beltway establishment. Hence, and understandably, suspicions have arisen. Next question, are the investigators after the truth or are they after Trump? He answers, he says, set aside the Trump-Putin conspiracy theory momentarily and consider a rival explanation for what is going down here. That from the outset, Director James Comey and an FBI Camarilla, I don't know exactly what that is, were determined to stop Trump and elect Hillary Clinton. Having failed, they conspired to break Trump's presidency, overturn his mandate, and bring him down. Essential to any such project was first to block any indictment of Hillary for transmitting national security secrets over her private email server. That first objective was achieved 18 months ago. On July 5, 2016, Comey stepped before a stunned press corps to declare that, given the evidence gathered by the FBI, quote, no reasonable prosecutor, end quote, would indict Clinton. Therefore, that was the course he, Comey, was recommending. Attorney General Loretta Lynch compromised by her infamous 35-minute tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton to discuss golf and grandkids, seconded Comey's decision, and so Hillary walked. Why is this suspicious? Pat Buchanan says, first, whether or not to indict was a decision that belonged to the Department of Justice, not Jim Comey or the FBI. His preemption of Justice Department authority was astonishing. Second, while Comey said in his statement that Hillary had been extremely careless with security secrets in his first draft, Clinton was declared guilty of, quote, gross negligence, end quote, the precise language in the statute to justify indictment. Who talked Comey into softening the language to look less than criminal? One man was FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, whose wife, Jill, a Virginia State Senate candidate, received a munificent PAC contribution of $474,000 from Clinton family friend and big bundler Terry McAuliffe, also urging Comey to soften the fatal phrase gross negligence, was key FBI agent Peter Strzok. In text messages to his FBI lover, Lisa Page, Strzok repeatedly vented his detestation of the idiot Trump. After one meeting with Andy McCabe, Strzok told Page an insurance policy was needed to keep Trump out of the White House. Also, it appears Comey began drafting his exoneration statement of Hillary before the FBI had even interviewed her. And when the FBI did, Hillary was permitted to have her lawyers present. One need not be a conspiracy nut to conclude the fix was in, Pat Buchanan continues, and a pass for Hillary wired from the get-go. Comey, McCabe, Strzok were not going to recommend an indictment that would blow Hillary out of the water and let the Trump Tower crowd waltz into the White House. Yet, if Special Counsel Robert Mueller cannot find any Trump collusion with the Kremlin to tilt the outcome of the 2016 election, his investigators may have another look at the Clinton campaign, for there a Russian connection has been established. He says, Kremlin agents fabricated, faked, forged, or found the dirt on Trump that was passed to ex-British MI6 spy Christopher Steele, the dirty dossier that was distributed to the mainstream media and the FBI to torpedo Trump. And who hired Steele to tie Trump to Russia? Fusion GPS, the Oppo research outfit into which the DNC and Clinton campaign pumped millions through law firm Perkins Coie. Let's review the bidding. Anyway, bottom line is, Pat Buchanan is very detailed, and he's going through this whole deal and lets you know where it stands and how it works.
And you believe there'll be accountability, Kurt? I think Pat's right on every point.
When you say accountability, I remember the old phrase where they say wheels of justice grind slowly. Now, they don't necessarily do that with you and me, friends of ours, like the Bundys or whatever. But there may be more of this going on behind the scenes. Like, I'm always really surprised, like when I see stories that we get to cover that are things like Ben Carson praying in the White House, after Trump's request or whatever. a lot of times people, I think, just are not told because the media doesn't want to cover those kind of things. And
I believe if we had enough of the media, Kurt, right now, the American people would be calling for it and something would happen. Without that push from the people or demand from the people, I don't think there's enough, I don't know what word to use, mojo or enough push, enough demand, expectation or whatever, to really get the ball rolling. And so I'm convinced the media is the factor here. They can either protect him or her, or they can take off the gloves and get to the truth. And I believe the media is that firewall of protection. Now, you could say, well, no, it's the FBI, Sam. It's the Justice Department. It's Comey. It's this. It's that. What protects them? And the answer is the American people disengaged. And the American people will remain disengaged as long as they're, not really told the real story. I could be wrong, but that's the way I see it. And that's why the media is so, so important. Yep. Literally, we ought to be calling to shut down the criminal FBI. If they're trying to, isn't that election fraud if the FBI literally conspired to stop Trump? Isn't that election fraud, Kurt?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, so that's what I mean, though. But see, unless you don't hear that, we're too busy saying, oh, my gosh, someone grabbed someone's derriere and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Which is what they want.
I think it's a combination of different things. And like we've talked about before, the liberals, the homosexuals, the lesbians, all those kind of guys, they work at putting their people in high places. And then they, get their things done. Whereas typically most of us conservative kind of Christian folks have said, well, we don't want to wrestle with the hogs, so we'll stay out of that kind of thing.
You're right. And I boil that down to they put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a catch-all phrase to point that very point that you bring up out. Caught red-handed.
And I know that you put your money where your mouth is.
I try to. Yeah. I wish I had more money. I'd do more, but I only have so many resources. And, my wife and I both work. We have 8 children. We have a lot of expenses as it is. There's only so much that I can do. My wife will mutiny if I do more, Don't blame her.
Yes, I
but
know.
But at the same time, we're doing the best we can. And she's supportive. I don't mean to in any way come across that she's not supportive. She's completely supportive. But there's just a realistic of how much I can give in terms of time and money and all those things put together. Or at some point, I'm not fair to my family and fair to my obligations and such. So there's a balance, and we try to work it out and do the best we can. And we certainly never ask anybody to do something we're not willing to do ourselves tenfold, thousandfold. I don't know what the number is, but significantly. And so, we're grateful for the help we get from everybody. Caught red-handed, says Donald Trump. Trump claims China selling oil to the North Koreans despite sanctions. Kurt, you want to respond to that?
What, that I think it's real or that I think they're doing it or what?
All the above. I'd say, you think there's going to be repercussions? Are we going to, what's going to happen?
I don't think so.
To sell goods, sell oil to the North Koreans?
Well, I think it makes more people go, hey, I want to, quit.
The question is, do you think they're really selling it or just giving it to them?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. So, caught red-handed, Chinese sell oil to the North Koreans. I wonder if they sold the oil or just gave it to them. Maybe they sold it. Who knows? That's big business for sure. But the question is, where do the North Koreans get all their money, Kurt?
That's a good question. I suppose they get it from dealing with other countries, or maybe they just print it up. I don't know, like we do. You know.
Now, why do we have to take their printed up money? Why don't we just say we don't take North Korean money?
Well,
if they get money from other countries, then how is that?
Yeah.
I thought we don't trade with them, and they've kind of been isolated for their, you know, nuclear aspirations and such. I'm just saying, when you really start to ask those questions, you kind of go, something's not making sense here. You know, Donald's asking the Chinese to help negotiate kind of a peace deal with North Korea, and North Korea's trading oil with them. Then we say, don't do that, that's evil. But are they doing that to help prevent war? Or what? See, I just don't even understand the discussions or the circumstances. You know what I mean? What do you say, Kurt?
I say there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that I don't know about.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think that's all of us. Uh-huh. But I find a lot of it baffles me, though, how these countries just continue. And I've always made the point that the only reason the North Koreans could continue to grow in weaponry and capabilities is if we are our, quote, partners or helping them, right?
Uh-huh.
And this is pretty much proof that we're helping them, right? Because, hey, what's happens? We buy products from China. China takes the money. Then they use that money to get oil. And then they refine and get the oil ready and then transfer it to the North Koreans with money, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how stuff works, Kurt.
Yeah.
And then I bring it up questions
like, or in other words, I go and buy something that I wish I could buy and made in America, and then I buy it from China, and then that money goes to North Korea. So I'm the one that's, you know.
Yeah, that's my point.
Doing that whole thing.
Well, not that you're really doing it.
Yeah, but it's, you know, you could certainly say that.
You're just being deceived
into
doing it, right?
Where you go, you know, you were there, I mean, even if you didn't know what was going on, you're part of the whole deal. You know, you're an accomplice or whatever.
That only works if you're a white supremacist to make that kind of a link.
Yeah, good point.
All right, there's an interesting glass, Kurt. Right? New kind of glass out?
And, yeah, well, I mean, I saw this from, you know, at least I was going to call it news of the weird, but, you know.
I think it's kind of cool news. I'd call it news of the cool,
personally.
Always
about that kind of stuff, you know. But they call it self-healing glass. And it says, self-healing glass, a cracking discovery from Japan. So you've got basically the dateline is Tokyo, and it says a Japanese researcher has developed by accident a new type of glass that can be repaired by pressing it back together after it cracks. So, you know, pretty interesting to me that, you could just squeeze it back together. Says the discovery opens the way for super durable glass that could triple the lifespan of everyday products like, you could probably fill in the blank, but car windows, construction materials, fish tanks, and even toilet seats, I guess, if you have a glass toilet seat. Guy's name is Yu Yanagisawa.
No, Kurt, it's not if you have a glass toilet seat. You would never have a glass toilet seat, but now you might.
Okay.
Right? Because look, have you ever had a cracked toilet seat before, Kurt?
I think I have.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, you know, you get a cracked toilet seat or whatever else. After a while, they wear out or get cracked or broke or the hinge breaks up. If you had a self-healing one, dude, it'd be awesome, right?
This guy was a chemistry researcher at the University of Tokyo, and he made this breakthrough by chance, they say, while investigating adhesives that can be used on wet surfaces. The story says, does this mean you will soon be able to repair those cracks in your smartphone with a quick press of the finger, surreptitiously where you piece together a shattered beer glass dropped after one pint too many? Well, the author says, not quite, not now, and in fact, not in the near future. But it does open a window of opportunity for researchers to explore ways to make more durable, lightweight, type of items like car windows that you can fix. In a lab demonstration,
personally, for windshields, for all kinds of things.
He broke a glass sample into two pieces. Then he held the cross sections of the two pieces together for about 30 seconds until the glass repaired itself, almost resembling its original form. To demonstrate its strength, he then hung a nearly full bottle of water from the piece of glass, and it stayed intact. Well, there you go.
Anyway, it's pretty interesting stuff, and I hope that new technology winds its way to my house. Along with a whole lot of other technologies, huh, Kurt?
Yes, you do.
All right. By the way, do you know about this guy? He's a climate activist, Kurt. His name's Tom Steyer. You know about this guy?
Tom Steyer, climate activist. Nope.
Michael Bastash writes the piece for Daily Caller, and this guy named Tom Steyer, they say he spent $160 million trying to influence elections. Now he may run for president, Kurt.
Wow, that's a chunk of change.
Yeah, now, would that be election fraud if you spent $160 million trying to change elections, influence elections there, Kurt?
Not in the world we live in today, Sam.
Oh, good point. Now, here's an interesting idea, though. I submit to you that it's vote fraud.
With money.
I submit to you that it's vote fraud. I really think so. And I look at that and I just, wow. All right. The mainstream press is attacking the Donald again, Kurt, over the stupidest thing you've ever seen.
Yes.
I got this piece out of Newser. Uh-huh. And it says, after nearly a year in Washington, President Trump has yet to enjoy a non-working meal at a restaurant that doesn't pay him rent. All right. They say he hasn't seen a performance at the Kennedy Performance Center. He hasn't seen a sporting event at all. And they go on this big old rant about, you know, Donald's just kind of aloof from society. And they say he hasn't had a non-working meal. Now, here's the interesting thing. The article goes on and criticizes him and kind of mocks him. And Donald says, well, why would I do that? The White House makes some of the best food ever. Now, I thought they used to say that he said the White House was a dump. But the dump makes the best food ever, okay? See, I mean, these people are just crazy. Okay, but now he's being criticized because he doesn't go to restaurants that don't pay him rent. Now, that's just their twist. But you got to read all the way to the bottom of the story, like you always mentioned, Kurt. The last couple of lines, you want to know what it says?
Go ahead.
The Democrat stronghold would not welcome him at any other restaurants.
Yeah.
So they criticize him for not going to all these restaurants, and then they admit at the bottom, we wouldn't even welcome him anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
You wonder why he doesn't go then, Kurt.
People throwing stuff at him or whatever.
Maybe the Secret Service knows that he's not welcome, and they're like, dude, you probably ought to not go to these places. They won't like you not welcome. And he's like, okay, well, why don't you just make some food here then? And then now they're running around criticizing him, but at the bottom of the article, they admit he's not even welcome.
Yep.
Now, do you think if they had a welcoming attitude, Kurt, he might go out a little bit more and do some of those things? Would that be a logical idea?
Well, maybe if he had a welcoming attitude. Yeah.
Now, let me just tell you what I know. We had Donald Trump Jr. on the radio, Kurt.
Huh?
Do you remember this?
Yes.
And do you remember that he talked about going out to restaurants, Kurt?
Yeah. He'd go with his wife and then, what, three or four kids, whatever.
Yeah, that was in New York.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably liked in New York, so they go out, Kurt. But you think Donald Trump Jr. Is going to go out in D.C.?
I suppose it'll be different now, you know, as they got more, I guess you could say,
fame?
More notoriety.
Yeah. All I'm telling is, what a weird article from the Whacked Out Press. Hey, he doesn't go to restaurants that he doesn't own, and it's crazy. He's a weirdo. He only wants to eat at the place we used to say he called a dump, the White House. He says the best food's there. He never goes. By the way, we wouldn't welcome him even if he did. What is this story even about? Answer. Criticize Donald at every turn for everything, even if it conflicts with months ago.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, taxes are in the news. Tax cuts are right around the corner. That's the good news. But it might not be so simple. Kurt's got three different articles talking about this.
Yeah, and you've got here's some headlines. Long lines at tax offices as homeowners try to beat hike. That's an AP story. You've got, for example, D.C. politics. IRS says many who prepaid property taxes may still face cap on deductions. Then a related one, it says, with the new tax law, CPAs enjoy sudden popularity. Accountants face long hours, anxious clients, but it's never been a better time to be a CPA, according to Michael Rappaport. Here's even a more recent one, Sam. It says counties expect to refund property tax prepayments made as a result of new Trump tax plan. So what you've got is apparently this way that you could in the past deduct your property tax, that kind of thing, and that's going to be going away with the new tax plan or whatever. So a number of people have been trying to prepay it so that they could still get the deduction, if you will. But they say the IRS issued an advisory late Wednesday spelling out that property taxes that haven't been assessed before the end of the year can't be deducted on next year's tax returns. They go on to say this is normally a slower time of the year, but it's been quite busy, talking about taxpayers lining up to prepay property taxes that aren't assessed until next year and not due until November 30th, 2018. Now, I wasn't one who signed up to pay prepay or anything. This guy said his office had accepted $3 million in prepayments on nearly 800 parcels. When the advisory came out, money that can be refunded to taxpayers who ask, although that process could, anyway, it doesn't make exact sense. But the bottom line is, Sam, there's a little bit of confusion about exactly what's going on, but I wasn't one who signed up to prepay my taxes, you know, more than a year ahead of time. Anyway,
yeah, I don't see what they think they're going to gain based on the hike versus the government having your money for a year versus the possible penalties or the caps that government's going to put on it or whatever else. I know people want to avoid taxes at all costs, but I find 9 times out of 10 when you try that, it just goes bad.
Well, and the other thing that I would like to bring up by these different stories is, imagine if, don't get us wrong, ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful for any improvement on the crazy system we've got, but just imagine if they had gone to what a friend of ours, a former Republican presidential candidate, had recommended, and that was simply a simple transaction tax that replaced every single tax, and then nobody would have to be wondering on which one's deductible and which one isn't, and have to be worried about the IRS, because all those things would just go away. Cool.
Yeah, I like Richard Mack's plan better.
Well, yeah, I mean, his plan is really good. I mean, but he didn't talk about replacing all the taxes. I mean, if you just eliminate all taxes and replace them with one simple tax that doesn't need any buddy looking through your records and checking your paperwork. I mean, all the taxes replaced by one simple tax that congressmen, senators, representatives, drug dealers all pay. Just like you and me.
There you go. All right. Donald Trump is demanding or calling out against who? Amazon, Kurt?
Well, he points out in a Trump or I was called it. I should have called it a tweet.
No, they're Trump's now, Kurt. They're not tweets because everybody else is getting kicked off Twitter. And so if he's the only one tweeting, then they'll just be Trump's.
Yeah, good point. He says, quote, why is the United States Post Office, which is losing many billions of dollars a year while charging Amazon and others so little to deliver their packages, making Amazon richer and the post office dumber and poorer?
Well, this is exactly why I say that these businesses are built by the government. These big gargantua, you know, huge corporate, you know, the Googles of the world, the Amazons of the world. This is how they do it. And somebody could say, well, Sam, they don't take government money. They're a private business. Oh, yeah? Well, Donald just nailed it exactly how a lot of this happens. He's right. Read that line again, Kurt. Donald is spot on.
Yeah, in his tweet, I think this is a tweet for today, but Reuters is reporting it. It says, why is the United States Post Office, which is losing many billions of dollars a year while charging Amazon and others so little to deliver their packages, making Amazon richer and the post office dumber and poorer? Should be charging much more, Trump wrote in a post on Twitter.
He's right.
Yes, he is.
But you know what? The real question is not that, though. Because what happens with this is you just get a battle between Amazon and the rest of businesses that I feel like I got to pay more because of that and everything else. But the real question is, why is the post office competing with the private sector for package delivery in the first place? Isn't that the real question, Kurt?
Maybe that'll be the next tweet.
Doubt it. Look, Donald will go far enough to make you believe he's on the right track, but he won't go far enough to have real change.
Yeah, he's been showing real change quite a bit with at least all the WorldNet Daily pieces where they say there's 170 record-breaking changes that he's done over the last, 340 days.
Yeah, you're right. They're changes, though, that are significant, but they're not changes that will change the direction of the country necessarily.
I'd say making sure that every time there's a any recommendation or something done by the government that is a new thing, that you got to get rid of two old things. I'd say that's.
And what if you don't, Kurt?
And there's a
bunch. What if you
more.
Just don't comply? Just don't do it. Just ignore the Donald, like they're doing so much in government right now. What happens?
Big list of 170 Trump accomplishments in 340 days.
Oh, yeah, and they're good. And I'm not down on the accomplishments. I'm just telling you they're not enough to change the direction of the country.
I think it's already changed.
For example, like the UN. It's great that we're cutting 5% to the UN. That's awesome. I'm not critical of that
when
one bit.
When did we do that last?
Never that I know of in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So it's good news, right? Let's not down it. Let's give credit that it's good news. But it isn't going to change the direction of the United Nations, really, unless it becomes a whole lot more.
So?
No.
I think it certainly could.
Well, I hope
it's
you're right.
It's certainly rolling the ball in the right direction. And that's what we have to do with whatever it takes.
Yeah. I mean, again, I want to give credit for the scale back and call it what it is. It's a scale back and it's good. I don't want to give it more credit than it deserves, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't deserve to act like, hey, you know what, we're changing the game. We're getting out of the United Nations or the United Nations direction and intention is going to change. They're still going to pursue everything that they've done unless it gets a whole lot more. But until we get out of the United Nations, we're not going the right direction. Now, we're better than we were.
Yeah, well, and we're not going to get out of it until we start giving them less money, I think, but, you know, that's just my opinion.
Well, that's right. It's just the battle about taxes. You know, hey, if we get a 1% tax cut, is it good? Well, it's not enough, but it's great.
Sure, better than a 0%.
That's right. So if we're comparing to zero, then it's better. If we're comparing to where we need to go, it's a long way to go still. So what we need to do is we need to mark our progress on the way and say, that's great. That's good. Right? But we need to keep an eye on the ball, not get delighted with the good. If I'm running a marathon that's 26 miles and I run the first mile, that's great. I only got 25 miles to go. That's good news. It's not bad. Yeah. It's better than not starting.
But if you were still sitting on the couch watching TV, then it wouldn't be good.
That's right. However, for me to focus on the rest of the race is smart.
Yeah.
Right?
Glass half full, glass half empty. That's the way we work it.
I don't know if it's half empty. Because I just told you that it's good, right? It's positive that we've got a lot going on. The question becomes, you know, at what point do we give credit for what and what do we focus on going forward? For example, this next story is kind of a highlight. Upheld is the headline you just sent me, Kurt.
Yeah, well, so you've got WorldNet Daily reporting $135,000. Yeah, that's right. Bob Unruh wrote this piece. It says, upheld $135,000 penalty for refusing cake for two brides. Three judges on the Oregon Court of Appeals affirmed a penalty of $135,000 for a bakery whose owners refused to violate their Christian faith and promote lesbianism by providing a cake for two brides. The fine was a death penalty for the bakery, forcing it out of business. The Oregon judges, they name them, they also determined that in today's America, quoting the Bible, can cause emotional harm to same-sex duos. The case arose when Aaron and Melissa Klein, that's kind of interesting, Aaron Klein, owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, declined to provide a wedding cake for the same-sex duo. Tells their names. Then the Kleins explained that providing the cake would violate their Christian beliefs, but the same-sex pair filed complaints with the Oregon Department of Labor and Industries. The agency investigated and found that the insults the lesbians endured was worth $75,000 in damages to one and $60,000 in damages to the other. The second didn't hear the quotation from the Bible directly, but had it quoted to her later. Investigators, the judges said, found that Aaron used the term abomination in the course of explaining why he was denying service to the complainants on account of their sexual orientation, and further found that the complainant experienced emotional distress based on the use of that term. It is that nexus that underlies the damages award. Well, anyway, there you have it. Do I think they'll pay it? No.
I hope that they're not going to get fined for this. Where's the Donald to step in? I sure wish he'd help with this.
You're going to have to move to a freer state.
Probably true to that. All right, last story. It's good news for CPAs, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah. you know, that people want them, and they're trying to get them to help them with all these new tax deals. And so the CPAs, our good buddy Hans, will be busy, busy, busy.
There you have it. All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. This nation shall endure.